Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. TNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
Hour number three of Robbie and Rexroad here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rexroad, Ryan Porth taking you through this Monday morning, reacting to a 27-24 loss for the Tennessee Titans yesterday against the Pittsburgh Steelers at Nissan Stadium. And to help us talk a little bit more about that, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and bring in our good friend Corey Curtis from News 2. Corey, what's going on, man? How you doing?
Good morning, fellas. Hope everybody's well today. We're good.
Hope you are as well. And, Corey, in honor of Halloween coming up this week, I've got a question for you right off the bat. What is scarier for Titans fans, the boogeyman or the third down defense that they've trotted out there?
Oh, the third down defense is flat out terrifying. I saw The Exorcist as a kid, and that kept me up for a week. I don't know if that kept me up as long as the Titans' third down defense right now.
I wonder if Linda Blair could maybe come off the edge. With that head spinning around,
After six games, Linda Blair has exactly the amount of sacks as Jadeveon Clowney and Vic Beasley combined.
Well done. Well done.
Very nice.
And more green vomit.
That's right. Corey, to that point, what in the world's going on with Jadeveon Clowney and Vic Beasley? What are you seeing from those guys? And have they given you any hope whatsoever thus far that they're going to turn it around at some point this season?
Well, Clowney has gotten close. And Clowney has gotten pressure, so he has contributed some, but you're not paying for some. It's like when Logan Ryan didn't have any picks his first two seasons. I said, Logan Ryan's playing well, but for $10 million a year, he needs to change games. He needs to win games. And last year he did that. For $9 and $12 million a year, they need to make plays that change and win games, and they're not doing that. To this point, you know, why can't they win fast enough? I don't know. I don't know. I mean, it's not like either of these guys are over the hill, certainly, but it's not happening. Now, what did Ben throw 49 times yesterday?
Yeah.
And I'll bet at least 20 of those were within 5 yards of the line of scrimmage. I mean, there were a lot of quick hitters where the pass rush had no time to get there. So I do get that, but I do also get we are six games in, okay? And they have got to get – you get to a point where you just have to say there are certain players we have to get more from, and the Titans have to get more from those guys.
So Kevin Byard yesterday, Corey, talked about a variety of things on the third down defense, and he used the word coordination. He also talked about pride, and I think the Titans showed a lot of pride in the second half, and
yeah.
I don't know how in some ways they even got it to where they did, but they got it there. But what about the idea of, Dean Pease being a huge loss? And
It's a massive loss.
Yeah. So what are you seeing just related to that, to coordinator, that is different from last year to this year, apart from – like you said, certain guys just have to make plays.
Look, I'm not going to be able to go and diagnose play-by-play on the defense and say, well, this is what they should have done here, and they dialed up this here, and they should do this. I can't do that. But you know who can? Dean Pease, because that's what he does. I mean, he's been one of the elite defensive coordinators in the league for the last 20, 30 years. And, we had Dick LeBeau here and Dean Pease, all right? We got kind of spoiled. With the Titans at the defensive coordinator position, because both those guys are really, really good. And look, I know Mike Vrabel had a tough circumstance in Houston because he had a lot of injuries, but he's been a defensive coordinator 1 year, and his defense finished 32nd in the league. Okay? And that's all I have to go on with that. And right now the Titans defense is struggling, and they need to find someone who can somehow figure out a way. Now, the promising thing is they do make plays, okay? So while they're struggling and struggling, they do make plays. They did have three interceptions yesterday. They do come up with plays, but as I'm sure Coach will say today, it just has to be more consistent. You know, you can't make, you know, a play a quarter or wait to the second half to start making plays. You know, you got to make plays all game long, and I don't remember what the – what was the third down number, 15 of 18 or 13 of 18? It was horrific. I mean, you know, as Kevin Byard says, you just get to a point where, you know, guys, that can't happen. I mean, that just doesn't happen in the National Football League. There's a problem there. You know, coverage isn't tight enough. Pass rush isn't good enough. That's a double dose. They both got to be better.
Corey Curtis from News 2 on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. So, Corey, Steven Gostkowski misses the field goal yesterday that could have tied the game and sent it to overtime. And then the stat flashes up on CBS after that. He's 5 of 11 inside 40 this year. It's perfect beyond 50, which to me, you flip-flop those things around and I can at least live with it at that point. How concerned are you about Steven Gostkowski and the Titans kicking game as they move forward here?
Well, I mean, what are the numbers outside of the Denver game? Not that you can throw out a game, but that was the first one. And since then, I feel like he's been pretty good. I mean, the 51-yarder he hit, he drilled through. You know, obviously, he needs to make that kick. But, you know, I catch some flack because he didn't lose the game, all right? They had an interception on the Steelers' 30-yard line, went three and out and took 3 points. You know, they get those 4 points, they win that football game. There's plenty of other areas. You know, he didn't shankopotamus it. He didn't miss it by a mile. Disappointing. I'm not horribly, horribly concerned right now. Would have liked to make that kick, yeah. I would have liked Ryan Tannehill not to have had intentional grounding two plays earlier. Yeah.
Well, he is 1 for 4 the last two games.
Is he?
Yeah, because he missed both against Houston. So it's almost, because like you said, so he's 1 for 4 at Denver, and of course, you know, misses an extra point and all that stuff. And then he goes 2 for 2.
Covers six, it up.
Yeah, right. I would agree with you that there are bigger concerns. But it's going to be really interesting moving forward. I mean, I guess basically what? Greg Joseph on the Bucs practice squad, you know, extend
Tucker McCann still on the Titans practice squad.
And you got Tucker here. I mean, I think Greg Joseph was better than him in camp. Not a ton better, or else maybe they don't even make this move at all. But like you said, Corey.
Who was that guy at Rice who hit the upright 4 times?
Oh, that was awesome. Gosh. I've never seen that before.
That guy. I mean, that's talent. Not just anybody can do that.
At least for like halftime trick shots, you know. Big win for the Blue Raiders on that, by the way, for anybody who hasn't seen that. So, Corey.
Can you be bowl-bound with 2 wins this year?
You can be bowl-bound with no wins this year.
All right, let's go. Let's do it. Bahamas.
Vandy, MTSU, and in the Bahamas. I like it. You mentioned the grounding call. I mean, so they're at the 25 with 55 seconds left after a great 3rd and 12 over, you know, bracketed A.J. Brown. Tannehill puts it right in there.
Good throw.
Beautiful. Yep. And it's like, oh, they're going to score a touchdown and win the game. Then that call comes. What did you think of that call? Because I do get, from my vantage point, I did think he was sailing it to Davis, but it went so far over his head that it looked like it was just a bailout.
Davis was on the scene. He was on the scene. He was on the hash. The ball wasn't close to anybody. I understand that people – look, if the roles are reversed – you want that to be grounding, all right? He may have thought, I got a receiver somewhere out on the right side. I'm just going to chuck it out there. But he's clearly in the pocket. He's clearly not trying to complete it to anybody. I would have called grounding on that as well.
And then the fact that they went deep to Davis, I know it's easy
that
now.
I did not like that call as well.
Yeah.
On third down, I mean, it was 3rd and 12. You know, we all hate the 10-yard throw on 3rd and 12, but in that situation where 3 points gets you to overtime, anything closer is better. And so, you know, look, you know, we all applaud going for the win when you get the win, but there was also time to keep moving forward. You know, you get the first down, you got plenty of time for more plays. And it wasn't like Corey was I mean, he had a step, but he had no chance to catch that one. It was out of bounds. But I would have liked something anywhere in the field closer to give them a better kick or just a chance to move the chains.
Corey Curtis from News 2 on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Corey, last thing for you here. Now that you've seen Pittsburgh in person, you've seen that front seven and everything they can do defensively, where do you think the Steelers rank right now in terms of the AFC pecking order?
Well, they're really good, and I think that was the great thing about yesterday's game. As I said, I thought we would learn a lot about both of these teams, and we did. And we learned that they're both really good because they went toe-to-toe. I mean, it's a game that came down to one kick, which is, you know, kind of what I thought it would be. But here's a shocking stat that I saw after the game when I looked at the box. Bud Dupree and Cameron Hayward combined for, I think, one tackle, and that was it.
Yeah.
No pass defense, no pressure, no quarterback hits. And that was a really pedestrian effort by those guys, or just a phenomenal effort by the Titans on the left side of the line. I was very surprised by that. T.J. Watt is very good. He was very good. And then their passing game is different than it used to be. It's much shorter, but they're very good. I'll put them at second right now behind Kansas City. I still think Kansas City's, you know, I'll put them number one in my power rankings this week because, look, if they're playing any team in the NFL, I'm going to pick Kansas City to win. It's that simple. But the Steelers are a threat. There's no question. The Titans are still a threat in the AFC, and the Steelers are a threat. They're both good football teams. They both got a lot of players all over the field.
And we'll get to see the little 2-3, you know, deciding game this week with Steelers-Ravens. So we'll get to test that out. So, Corey, got a week before the trading deadline. John Robinson's never really taken advantage of the trading deadline. I can think of a couple things he might want to do right now. Do you think he does anything? And if you're him, what are you targeting right now?
Well, one of the issues that they've got, guys, is that in the past few years, they've made quite a few moves and unloaded quite a few draft picks. And as a result, they're up against the cap now. So they need to have more draft picks on their roster moving forward. If you're going to afford Kevin Byard and Taylor Lewan and Ryan Tannehill and Derrick Henry and all these guys with all these higher-end salaries, you've got to have guys at the bottom end of your roster. So I don't know that John's in a position to deal many of his picks as he goes against the cap in 2021, 2022, and 2023. And now, having said that, you know, it depends on what would be out there. Now, if he could get, you know, is Marcus Golden available from the Giants, you know, a guy they could have signed in free agency? They got to get somebody who can hit the quarterback. I mean, it's that simple. And so if they could do that and maybe, you know, some kind of veteran presence at corner, but how much is it going to cost you? If it's going to cost you a 6 or a 7, you know, you can do it, you know, possibly a 5, but if it's a pick 1 through 4, I have a hard time seeing this team unloading one of those.
Corey Curtis from News 2 has been our guest here on Robbie and Rex. So, Corey, great stuff as always, man. Appreciate you taking time to join us.
Joe, who should they get?
I wrote about Riley Reiff last week. The Vikings are in pure salary dump mode. The Titans have about $8 million in space. He's making 5.9 this year. And like you said, the problem is who's hitting the quarterback, right? And I agree with you. Now, they do have 9 picks. They have a compensatory pick, so they've got extra picks this year.
They did unload Ngakoue, and so he was available.
That's true. Yeah, but they're in cap. I mean, they're just like the Eagles and some of these other teams, just cap misery right now. So, you know, maybe you can get someone like that who can actually make a difference for not a big price. But I agree with you. You don't want to touch those high picks.
No. All right. Sorry to interrupt.
No, you're all good.
No, good question. I like you interviewing us, Corey. You should interview us more on here.
Well, you threw it out there. I was intrigued.
Absolutely.
Thanks for taking time to join us, Corey. We appreciate it.
All right, bye.
When we come back, we'll continue the Titans discussion. Get your reaction to the loss as well on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. That's next. This is Robbie and Rex Road on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth taking you through this Monday morning here in Nashville, Tennessee. Mike Vrabel going to speak today around 12:30. You can hear that live on Darren, Donick, and Chase. And, of course, our live press conferences on ESPN 102.5 The Game are brought to you by Pella Windows and Doors of Nashville. So looking forward to hearing what Vrabel has to say today at 12:30. Should be an interesting press conference after the Titans' first loss of the season.
Should it be?
Yeah, he's not going to say anything.
Got to coach better, got to play better.
How many times do you think he says that? I'm going to put the over-under at 4.5.
Well, now, it's related to the questions. So
no, he'll say it regardless.
Yeah, but I mean, it's a response to, like, specifically this or this needs to get fixed. Got to coach better, got to play better.
An over-under 4.5.
And so I think it automatically goes up after a loss. Because, you know, let's face it, more questions about things that are going wrong now than things that are going right. So, although there's plenty of questions before about the third down defense, even when they were winning. But 4.5, I'd say that's a pretty high number. Because, you know, he's got some variations.
He may say it 4 times in one answer.
He could. He's got a few other different go-tos, though, but I think I might take the under on that.
Okay. I'm going to go over.
I'm going to count it very
carefully.
This will
be a competition today. I'm looking forward to it.
All right.
Let's go to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. We got a lot of text to roll through here with your reaction. Again, we'll take that at 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Got a texter that asks, are there any trade possibilities for a pass rusher that come to mind? So when you look around the league, Joe, obviously Yannick Ngakoue just goes from Minnesota to Baltimore. As you look around the league, are there any pass rushers that come to mind that the Titans could trade for?
Yeah, I mean, well, look, this is one of the realities of the NFL is that there are not many. And when teams get pass rushers, they hold on tight. And so Corey mentioned Marcus Golden. I suppose – now, wait a minute. So the Cardinals just traded for him. So there you go. Corey mentioned Marcus Golden as a guy, a giant, you know, because the Giants are certainly a team unloading. Well, the Cardinals just trade a 6-round pick for him. So take Marcus Golden off your list.
I had somebody ask me over the weekend if the Titans could trade for J.J. Watt. I'm going to go on a record and say that ain't going to happen.
It won't, but I'll tell you
Houston's
what.
Houston's not trading him to Nashville, to the Tennessee Titans.
Right.
It's not going to happen.
Now, they might trade him to someone. And if anybody saw J.J. Watt, yeah, you were hoping, man. Anybody saw his presser yesterday?
He was not a happy man.
He's worn out, man. He's worn out by everything that's gone on there. You know, think about the damage that Bill O'Brien did in a short period of time when they made him GM, you know?
Irreparable.
Like the whole thing's going to get blown up because of, I mean, it's...
Future Titans offensive coordinator, Bill O'Brien.
But J.J. Watt, as a trading piece here, maybe. I mean, it's now, the AFC South it's very clear. There's two teams that are in it, and there's two teams that are going toward high draft picks. So,
let's go back to the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Steve from the Borough text in, how big of a deal is it that we don't have a Dory Jackson to help cover so that your pass rush can get home? I am interested to see how much of a difference he makes when he comes in. The problem is, I mean, they haven't really been getting close lately to sacking the quarterback on a consistent basis.
Yeah, again, yeah, you can have coverage sacks, you know? So you play tight coverage for a long period of time, or you drop into, you know, you drop 8 or whatever. You drop into, you know, your typical zone, and the quarterback has nothing. But most good quarterbacks in the NFL against a zone are going to find the hole unless you really pressure quickly. And for the most part, it's more that the rush helps the coverage than the other way around. And so, yes, Adoree Jackson will make a difference when he comes back. There's no doubt about it. I mean, in certain matchups that they've had trouble with, now they know they've got him against a number one receiver on any team. Adoree Jackson can give you a chance. So, yes, it'll make a difference, but how is he going to help? These guys have got to do it. They've got to get after the passer. And, it's not – like, until the pass rush on its own improves, I don't know that his impact will be as big as some hope it will be.
Let's go back to the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Got a text that says, the Titans, I felt, got dominated and were never fully in that game until a few breaks fell their way, most notably getting lucky on a turnover with the pass deflection from Simmons. Pittsburgh showed you how to defend Derrick Henry, tackling him before he gets to the secondary and not allowing him to bully smaller defensive backs. I'm still a bit skeptical on this Titans team defeating the top teams in the AFC, considering they need to play with a lead to have the game flow in their favor on most occasions. Do you think the Titans' style of play and relying on Henry and being balanced on offense lends itself to closer games? And do you think, given that way, the way that they play, that puts them at a disadvantage when they're going up against some of these higher power teams in the AFC?
Well, only if their defense can't get off the field on third down. I mean, again, I think the way they like to play was perfect. If you can pair it with an okay defense, you're going to maybe win this game. You're going to win a lot of games, and they may anyway. They're 5-1, but Derrick Henry's at 20 for 75 after that TD drive, and he's starting to really hurt that defense, right? And he gets over for the touchdown, so he scores with how much time? 10. He scores with 10:13 left in the game. 70-yard drive, 8 carries, 43 yards. He's at 20 for 75 at that moment. He ends 20 for 75. Why? Because the Steelers take the next drive, and they go with it. 70 yards, 12 plays, and, you know, just eat up most of the rest of the clock. I mean, so I have no quibbles with the way this team is constructed offensively, how they want to play, but you have to have an okay defense for it to work.
And the reason I ask that question is because there is a narrative out there that the way the Titans play is going to lend itself to some closer games. Booger McFarland threw that out yesterday on Twitter, saying that how can you stick with Gostkowski and have confidence in him moving forward if this is the way their offense is designed to play. Also Keyshawn Johnson from Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin talked about that and the Titans' style of play. Here's what Keyshawn had to say.
Tennessee is the type of team that is great. I like the way that they play their style, running the ball, playing defense. But the one thing, much like the Baltimore Ravens, they cannot afford to fall behind. I know A.J. Brown is a great wide receiver, and I know that they do some things in the passing game, but they're not built to throw the football like that. They're not built to come from behind. So they've got to make sure that they got to stay in front at all times when they play these teams, because if they get too far behind, I don't care what Ryan Tannehill, MVP conversations and all that, that went right out the window real fast. They're still a legit team, but they just can't fall too far behind.
Okay, so they're down 27-7 yesterday.
And came back.
And Tannehill has them 20 yards from winning the game and scoring.
Also has four game-winning drives this year.
Right. It's the narrative. I mean, it's the comfortable thing to
also,
say.
Also, apparently the Titans play good defense, too.
Right. That run ball play the defense team that they are. That's what they've been. That's the identity of the franchise, right?
Well, over 20 years
time.
Ago.
Yeah. But, I mean, even some of their other good teams,
sure.
It's been like that.
That's what I took away from that game yesterday. The Titans locked down on defense.
Yeah,
run that
ball
was my
play
number one takeaway.
Yeah, like that's the thing.
They're like the 85 Bears out there yesterday.
Like I don't agree. I don't disagree with him that they're better playing from ahead, and that it lends itself to having a back like Henry. And
who's not better playing from ahead?
Right.
Who's
sure.
That team in the NFL? It's like, you know what? God bless it. We are down by 10. We've got them exactly where we want to have them right now.
Well, I will say the one
other
team,
than if you're playing against Atlanta.
Well, the Kansas City Chiefs.
They're still not better that way.
No, but I mean they're the team that can come back from ridiculous margins, and so I guess if everyone's compared to them, great. But yeah, right. Yeah, you'd rather be ahead. This team's better ahead. This team is not this. Oh God, they're down 10 points and forget about it. I mean we've seen it over and over again, but it's just never like there's just you're not gonna end this narrative clearly.
When we come back, what in the world happened to the Titans yesterday in the first half that had them looking so disorganized? We'll talk about that on the other side. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Ray McLeod just had the long return. Low snap, mishandled. Kearns looking to throw. Off his back foot, a floater is incomplete.
Mike, this is a team that has started fast in recent weeks. What do you, when you look at the game, how do you explain maybe the slow start today?
16 plays on the first series, not being able to get off the field on third down, playing some good defense, and then third and longs again, over and over again, three and out, and then another long drive. You can't fall behind against a good football team. Give Pittsburgh a lot of credit. You know, this was clearly the best team we've played to this point, and if we didn't play our best, we were going to lose.
That was Titans coach Mike Vrabel yesterday after the loss to the Pittsburgh Steelers. And, Joe, it was clear that the Titans were just discombobulated in the first half, both on both sides of the ball, defensively. The first drive, what Pittsburgh go on the first drive? 15 plays? 16 plays? I mean, they were just
16 plays, 75 yards at 9-18, but they went 100 yards of offense.
Yes, had some penalties in there.
Holding and a personal foul face mask, and they still go, they do 100 yards of offense.
Well, look, let's be honest. They could have had a 600-yard field on that first drive, and they would have scored. I mean, they were just moving the ball, doing whatever they wanted to on that first drive. Titans defense was lost. They couldn't cover anybody. Third down, obviously couldn't get off the field. And then you flip the script and you go to the first two drives of the game for the Titans, both three and outs, and really didn't get anything accomplished on those first couple of drives. It did not look good for the Titans.
Yeah, so that's where they're out of character. Again, they're in character getting torched on third down. But your first – so they you have this drive. You don't even get the ball till 5 minutes left in the first quarter.
Yeah. And weren't they getting outgained like 100-1 at that point?
Well, I mean, it was. But I'm saying it was 100-0.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, so they get the ball. You get a holding right away. So then you get a 1st and 17. Then you almost have a sack. Then Henry gets, you know, Vince Williams gets him down for one. And by the way, these teams are talking a lot of trash to each other, too.
Yeah.
Like Darren Bates talking all this trash before they get whatever, you know. And so there's a lot of that going back and forth. They hit Henry for a 1 yard gain. So 3rd and 16, Tannehill almost throws a pick right there. Then the Steelers get it. Boom, go down the field. 13 plays, 61 yards, 705. You know, so right there, offense is 161-1.
It's not a good ratio.
And it's 14-0. For the rest of the game, again, basically like the first 10 minutes of the game, rest of the game, it's 24-13 Titans. You know? I mean, it's a much better game. It's a more of the type of game we thought we'd see, but it's 14-0 right from the start there. And no, I mean, like, give them credit. They make it 14-7, but still, I mean, it took a long time for that defense to look like it had any chance at all of stopping the Steelers. There were some better series in the second half. The first half, there was, I think a lot of it was the Steelers coming right out like they did, and then 14-0. And then you see some guys doing some things, trying to get outside themselves. You know, you got the punt return, get the kickoff return. You got some of these weird things that you're not used to seeing from this team.
Let's go back to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Matt from Camden texted in, "I've been thinking about this since yesterday, and I know he's not the reason why we lost this game, but at what point do you move on from Gostkowski? Do you think that the Titans give any consideration whatsoever to making a change at kicker?
At some point.
But I'm talking about now."
Yeah. And I think everything's got to be on the table. Again, he's 1-for-4 now in his last two games. So all of a sudden, that's the crazy thing about Gostkowski. So, you know, he has that first game where it's just a disaster until it isn't, until he hits the game winner. And then he goes 2-for-2. And then he goes 6-for-freaking-6. And it's the only reason you win at Minnesota, because he is an absolute rock star. And then he goes... He doesn't have to do anything against Buffalo, and it's been all this time away and all this stuff and COVID and the outbreak, and they come back. And now in the last two games, he's 1-for-4. So, and then, you know, he misses the clutch kick, the first clutch kick that he's missed. So, like right now, where is that on there? I mean, John Robinson's got this list. I don't think it's top of the list right now.
I don't either.
And the thing is, like, what are you going to do right now? I mean, some of your better options are obviously kicking for other teams. So what's your best bet? To go get Greg Joseph off the Bucs practice squad, I guess?
I guess.
I mean, that's the best thing I can come up with. I don't think they're going to swap.
Gary Anderson available?
Hey,
can you do anything?
Rolf Benerska? You know, I don't know. I mean, Morton Anderson? You know, they're not going to swap him out for Tucker McCann right now. So I would think that this is kind of like the discussion after week one, where we're like, what are they okay with this? Do they freak out? Do they let him go? I don't think they're going to do anything this week, but if he has a bad week at Cincinnati, then I think you have to come back around on it. But is Greg Joseph is fine. He's pretty good. Greg Joseph probably doesn't miss this many kicks. He probably doesn't lead the league and miss field goals right now.
Like, can he really afford to go through the kicker carousel again? Like, I'm as frustrated as any Titans fan at Gostkowski, but the other options out there are not Steven Gostkowski.
But can you really afford to go less than 50% inside 50 yards all season
long? No, you can't.
So what do you do?
I think you give it if he has one more bad game, then I think, yeah, I hear you on kicker carousel. Last year was, and again, I think a big thing was Suckup comes back too early. What if they just don't bring him back too early? They let him get healthy. They do whatever they're going to do. They have him back, and now he's
looks pretty good right now.
Their kicker, and he's doing what he's doing with Tampa Bay here. I mean, that's a misplay. The whole kicker thing has been a misplay. So I also think you're right, though, Ryan, when you think about last year and everything that happened. If you're the Titans, if you're John Robinson, you think about that, you don't want to go through that again. And right. If you're like, okay, Greg Joseph, great, but then that might blow up in 3 weeks.
Right
then
now,
what do you do?
Ryan Suckup, 11 of 13, 25 of 26 on extra points.
That would work out okay.
Certainly better than what they've had so far. Gostkowski, 10 of 16. Now, I get it. He had an awful game against Denver, and you can't discount that, but it's not like that's been the case the whole year. But he is 1 of 4 in his last two games. Now, one of those was blocked. I understand that, but it's consistently been inconsistent, if that makes any sense whatsoever.
He's 9 for 12 since the opener, which isn't bad, but yeah, 1 for 4 last two games. Those two misses against Houston were like, uh-oh, and then this happens. So I think it's back on the table, but there's also the history with Vrabel and him. Vrabel, for many years, watched how good he was. That only holds up so long. And like Ryan said, man, the alternatives are just – I mean, Greg Joseph's probably fine.
I just feel like they're playing roulette. Every time Gostkowski lines up to take a kick, you don't know what you're going to get. And he was on a heater in Minnesota, but he has largely been inconsistent.
And how long can you go forward with that? Because I do think they're going to be in a lot of close games because of that defense.
Yeah.
Like, I've seen some people freaking out yesterday about the offense, and we're going to get to that a little bit in the next segment. I think their offense is going to be fine. And it's not going to be the same without Taylor Lewan. But I don't think there's going to be like this, you know, running off the side of a cliff for the Titans offense. I think it's going to be okay. That defense is awful. It's terrible. And because of that, you're going to have to make some big kicks down the stretch because it's going to take 31, 35, 38 points a game to win. That's just right now, based on six games of sample size, that's what it's going to be for this Titans team.
Yeah. No, I agree. Even I think we had a caller earlier, and we actually never answered his question about the Lewan and the offensive line. So I'm coming back to that. And look, I think that like Bud Dupree, Corey Curtis brought that up. They gave Sombrello a ton of help. Now, I thought he did fine. But again, if you're giving help, you are taking someone away who's a threat downfield with this offense. This offense has been so great for a lot of reasons. One of them that you can protect with five and really put defenses in a bind, and that's going to change. But I agree with you, Robbie, that they're not going to fall off a cliff because of this. They're going to figure it out. And Tannehill, Henry, I mean, look at A.J. Brown yesterday. They've got enough weapons. They're going to score a lot of points in a lot of games. They're not going to play pass rushers like they just played. Probably again. Well, they're going to see Khalil Mack in a couple weeks, but most weeks they're going to be fine. But you're right. The defense right now figures to keep the other team in these games, even if they're playing well on offense.
Were y'all surprised that they came out so, I don't know if flat's the right word, but just ineffective on offense right from the jump? It took them a whole half to get going. Like, are y'all surprised that it took that long?
Yeah. Now, remember, they did score on possession two. Now, that was also the Davis tip play that was, you know, thrown too high. But they didn't.
Just how you draw it up.
But of course, that's also the second quarter. Yeah, it's also the second quarter before they get their first down, right? But again, that's really the defense's fault. You get 1-3 and out, and you sandwich that in between drives of, let's add these two drives up, drives of 29 plays covering 161 yards, sandwiched around a 3-and-out. Now you're just, you know, your defense, really, that beginning of the game and your defense are really what lost this game for you.
There were points in the first half with the Titans offense where it looked like the Steelers defense was going to suffocate them all day long.
Yeah.
And I thought it was a good sign for the offense that they worked out of that and got themselves back into the game. Whether or not they got, you know, a couple lucky plays along the way, that's going to happen. But that first drive, it looked like the Steelers were all over them. And there were different points in the second quarter where it felt like that too. I really, at halftime, thought it was going to be a bloodletting.
Yeah, and by the way, I hadn't even talked much about A.J. Brown so far. I mean, 6 catches yesterday, $1.53. I realize a lot of it came on the long touchdown play, but we were asking, you know, going up against Joe Hayden, could he handle a matchup with a big boy cornerback? Did okay yesterday.
Yeah, and even when they bracketed him, he made plays. He's a stud. And that's a great point. I mean, I think Tannehill early on was jittery. And, man, he knows. He knows he doesn't have Lewan. He knows he's playing Watt and Dupree and Hayward and Tui. He knows the deal. And I think it did affect him some. We haven't seen him affected at all, worried at all about who's rushing him. But he did. In the second half, he hung in there and made big plays. And it is encouraging. They're going to score points.
When we come back, what did we make yesterday of Ryan Tannehill and Derrick Henry and their performance as a duo? We'll get to that on the other side. But first, make sure you're tuning in tomorrow night as Nashville SC takes on the Montreal Impact at 6 p.m. Catch all the action on ESPN 94.9, starting with pregame coverage at 5:45. We'll be right back. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Talking Titans, getting your reaction to the loss against the Steelers. 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025 on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Joe, we spent a lot of time last week talking about the duo of Ryan Tannehill and Derrick Henry and trying to determine, all right, if you had to give an MVP award out right now, which one would you give it to? I slightly lean towards Ryan Tannehill. I had a piece about it on thegamenashville.com leading into this game. We talked about the slow start offensively for the Titans in the last segment. They figured it out a little bit in the second half, but still not the typical numbers that you're used to seeing out of Ryan Tannehill and Derrick Henry. As you evaluate those two specifically, what did you make of their performance yesterday? And we'll start with Derrick Henry on the ground. There was a lot of talk heading into this game. Ryan Clark of ESPN, former Pittsburgh Steeler, mentioned that Derrick Henry has that fake bravery in the secondary, and he runs over, only is able to run over people in the secondary. He doesn't run over people his own size, which my first reaction to that was, okay, show me the guy that is Derrick Henry's size that he's apparently supposed to be running over. Like, how many linebackers out there are 6'3", 260? There's not a whole lot of them.
Yeah, the fake brave. That's just a dumb comment by Ryan Clark. I guess Derrick Henry doesn't just immediately destroy defensive ends. You know, like he does not get going downhill. Like, hey, they got him in the backfield a few times. I mean, hey,
even on the goal line. I mean, they popped him one good time on the goal line.
By the way, Robert Spillane, former Titan, with a big hit, and I think
I thought he separated his shoulder all the time. Yeah,
got himself hurt on that play, but. Yeah, I think the Steelers did a good job. They were locked in. And then the Titans, I think exactly what the Titans want to do, whether they're ahead or behind, as long as they're in the game, they think as it goes on, that other team's going to like it less and less to deal with tackling him. And it worked out exactly that way. 8 carries for 43 yards on that drive and some big-time runs, some big-time inside runs there for him. He goes 9 right up the middle. He's got a real tough inside zone run for 4 in there. Then they put in Blasting Game and do a gap play, and he gets 7 going right behind Blasting Game. Really just ripping off run after run, exactly how you draw it up. He finally gets that dive for a touchdown. He's at 20 for 75, 10-13 left in the game. So the day for Derrick Henry, I think – very easily could have been a 100-yard day if your defense could get any kind of stop and not let them then have the ball for the next 8 minutes of the game, which is what happened.
Let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and bring in Brad from Nashville who wants to weigh in. Brad, thanks for calling in to Robbie and Rex Road. Go ahead.
Hey, man, I just want to say how proud I am of the Titans. You know, we were, what, one bad play away from who knows what, going 6-0. You know, that's something for this city to be proud of, man. And, you know, I'm a Tennessee Vols fan myself, and I would take being able to play with the big boys like this any day of the week. And that's all I got.
Thanks for the call, Brad. Appreciate it. I mean, there is something to be said about struggling as much as they did in the first half and finding a way back into it in the second half against a team and a defense specifically as good and as talented as Pittsburgh's is.
Days like this are great. It really is kind of just about your personal outlook on life, right?
It is.
Because I hear you, Brad. I hear what Brad's saying. I mean, they're right there about to beat the Steelers after being down so big to a great team.
Especially the Vols fan part of it. I mean, you don't compete with great teams as a Vols fan. I mean, this is a big step up for
yes.
the Titans.
Yes. Now, you know, the NFL, it's a lot more level playing field, but still. I'm sure it's refreshing to be able to look at this team and see stuff like that. But then, hey, I'm seeing reaction too. Like, they were lucky to be in this game, right? They're lucky to even be hanging around. You get a tip pick and another tip pick, and they were dominated. They should have been blown out, and they should be 2-4 right now. However you want to look at life. Bottom line is your team is 5-1.
Let's go back to the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Got a texter that says, if A.J. Brown is your number one receiver, why would you go to Corey Davis on the game-winning throw late in the game?
Well, so you're just going to force it to A.J. Brown every play because he's your, quote, number one receiver? Corey Davis can make plays. I mean, if you're a great quarterback, you throw to Firkser or some, too. And you throw to Humphrey some, too. You throw to Jonnu Smith some, too, right? That's why Tannehill's been so great. He has chemistry with all those guys and finds the open man. Now, I think it's fair to say, why are you throwing that low percentage play rather than get 10 yards and make sure you can get the three? It's very easy to say that now. But as far as just throwing to Davis, throw to Davis whenever he's open, man. He's actually been playing well this year.
Let's go back to the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Got a texter that says, stop putting Jonathan Joseph on the field. Start Amani Hooker if you have to.
Well, Amani Hooker's a safety. So you're not starting Amani Hooker at any of those cornerback positions. They're good with their safety depth and their safety play, although, you know, it hasn't been, just like everything on that defense, hasn't been what it was, but they're still good there. Yeah, corner's a problem. And someone said earlier, was it reported that Fulton? Yeah, Paul Karhusky reports that Christian Fulton's scheduled for an MRI. That could be a problem. Now, it's interesting because Fulton yesterday was not being treated like a guy who had any kind of serious knee injury. He was down there running all over the place, running up and down the field. He didn't go back in, but I would guess that would be for a potentially, I guess, less severe injury. But still, what if you miss him for some time now? Jonathan Joseph, I don't disagree with anyone who says don't have him on the field, but he knows what's going on, and at times he's in good position. When he gets matched up on the outside against a guy who can run it all, it's not going well for you.
Let's go back to the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Nate texts in, how much is this an overreaction to the first loss of the season? The Titans are not to whatever. They've lost one game. Let's see if they bounce back, and I think we have a better understanding of where this team is. So he's not saying the Titans are like 2-4. This is the first loss.
So we need to. So we've got these two groups right now. It's a nice little conflict. I know, covering Michigan State for a long time, they called those people the sunshine blowers. I'm trying to remember what the name was for the glass half empty people. We got to come up with a good name for it. The doom and gloomers
You on the fly.
Sunshine blowers and the doom and gloomers. And you can spin this any way. They could be way worse right now and they should have gotten blown out, or golly, they're 5-1 and they just barely lost to one of the best teams in the NFL. What are you mad about?
Can be both.
It could be both. You can be down the middle. You can be somewhere in that middle.
I'm stoked that this team is 5-1, but that was frustrating yesterday.
Yeah.
Watching that defense continue to not get off the field on third down.
I think both is pretty reasonable place to be. We struggle with gray area in life, you know? It's like you got to be this or this, when in reality we got a whole bunch of this. I'm moving my hands.
Did you just do a bunch of thises on the
– a bunch of thises on the radio.
Only two people could see you do that, Joe.
But it was effective, right?
It was. It was very good. Let's go back to the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Got a text that says, yeah, you do throw to the wide receivers and tight ends, but not on the game-winning drive if you have A.J. Brown and you're the Steelers 3 years ago. You're not throwing the ball to James Conner
out of the backfield, you'd be throwing that ball to Antonio Brown. Let's say if you're New England, you have Gronkowski or Edelman, you're not throwing the ball to James White out of the backfield.
Okay. Well, go back, and I promise you those guys did. I promise you Roethlisberger threw to people other than Antonio Brown on those plays, and Brady, my gosh, Brady threw the ball to freaking David Patton for big plays. I mean,
you throw to who's open.
The great quarterbacks find who's open, and if you're going to bracket his number one guy, hey, he forced it into him on that 3rd and 12, and it worked out. So, yeah, you want to give the ball more often to your best receiver, but I hate the idea of, oh, you just have to go there. Corey Davis can make plays.
Plus, I'd love to see what A.J. Brown was doing on that play. Like, was he double covered, and was Tannehill going to be throwing a pick on that play?
Or was A.J. Brown running a slant and trying to pick up 8 yards, and Corey Davis is going for the kill shot, and Tannehill decided to go for the kill shot? I mean, it's not like they're running the same route necessarily either.
Yeah, and so on that particular play, and if that's the case and he was open, well, he should have gone there. But the idea that you just predetermine, I must go to A.J. Brown, he's my best receiver. No, you will never succeed as an NFL quarterback if you think that way.
Let's go back to the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Matt texts in, after last week's blocked field goal, Vrabel put the kicking woes on the protection. Is Vrabel too close to Gostkowski, or is it our protection? Do you think that Vrabel may be relying on Gostkowski's past a little too much?
Well, not really, but especially if we talk about this particular instance, he was talking about a blatant breakdown where they let the guy come through the inside of the line and block the kick. So that was just an accurate statement. Their protection broke down. I mean, look, Vrabel came in, and I mean, Matt Cassel is one of his best friends, I think, and he came right in and they cut him. You know,
sorry, buddy.
They understand that. And I'm sure, like, the Vrabels and Castles are still tight. Like, it's we're getting another backup. So I don't think that's going to be the thing here. I think the thing is more what we were talking about earlier is, like, are you sure you want to move on? And then what are you moving on to at kicker?
Yeah, and that's going to be what they have to figure out if it goes that way. Now, we've seen Gostkowski this year. He's liable to come out against Cincinnati and go 5 for 5, and then you just put it to bed for the time being. I mean, I would not be surprised at all if that happens.
Yeah, see, I would advocate for them to just come out and spike the ball in a few third downs and give them some tries.
Would you?
But the problem is Joe Burrow might go for 400. And
he looks pretty good.
Yeah, you better score touchdowns.
Now, their defense is a little suspect. Baker went off in the second half yesterday. 5 touchdowns. And, the Browns, 5-2.
And Beckham is Beckham's
hurt. He hurt his knee. It doesn't look good for old Odell. So we'll see how that affects them moving forward. Speaking of Cincinnati, let's go back to our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Got a texter that asks, should the Titans trade for Geno Atkins? Do you think that would be a realistic possibility for the Titans?
Geno Atkins, without off the top of my head knowing exactly, like his salary situation, everything like that, I do think that right now, and we know that Jarrell Casey's hurt, but a healthy Jarrell Casey, another guy inside with Simmons, who could be disruptive, would be nice.
Right now the problem's on the edge.
It is. Now, if you're tough enough on the inside at some point, doesn't that help those guys? I mean, you would think so. But, yeah, that D-tackle is down the list again too, you know? All right, so I'll say no, but I'll look up his contract stuff in the break.
When we come back, we'll continue the Titans discussion, ask the question, what's the bigger concern right now after yesterday's loss, the defense or the kicking game? With Steven Gostkowski. Give us your reaction, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025 on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Titans fans, Corner Pub is the place to check out the game with locations in Bellevue, Brentwood, or downtown, and a great beer specials, including $1 off of Yazoo and Happ & Harry's draft beers, plus Happ & Harry's bucket specials. Don't miss Nashville's best NFL pregame show live from the Corner Pub in Brentwood this Sunday. Join ESPN 102.5 The Game from 9:30 to 11:30 a.m. prior to the Titans taking on Joe Burrow and the Cincinnati Bengals. The NFL pregame show features Jared Stillman, Floyd Reese, and former Titans wide receiver Chris Sanders, and is brought to you by Wholesale Inc., powered by Rumble On, Farm Bureau Health Plans, and Kubota Tractors, Middle Tennessee Kubota Dealers. We'll be right back. Robbie and Rex Road, live from the Wholesale Inc. studio, powered by RumbleOn.com. You're on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba.
Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.